Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday edition of The Yard. This is going to be a different show because I'm going to record a bunch, we're going to pause it, we're going to finish watching the basketball game, and then we're going to have our final segment kind of recapping the Mississippi State men's basketball game. Yeah, to the hump for hoops in honor of Dr. Flick. I know a lot of you guys are really excited about this. I think we're going to be really good this year. I know that the SEC media picked us 10th, but what do they know? They may have got the football thing right, but I got faith in Chris Jans, and I'll tell you this. I saw the video. I shared it on social media, too. The little thing the university did. You know, it gives you chills, man. It does. And that's the thing, like, I love about Chris Jans. It's like, in Mississippi State, we have to be tough. We have to be tough. Some people don't like the blue-collar label, but I tell you, Chris Jans is a guy that grew up in a double-wide trailer on a gravel road, man. That guy knows what it's like to come up from humble upbringing, and I think as a result, it makes him a better recruiter. I think he can identify with young people in a way that many people can't. But I'm proud he's ours, and looking forward to recapping a win here before we finish the show, which will come in the future. So, nevertheless, I want to thank everybody, too, that has bought the book. Everything has been shipped. I'm getting some people that still message me. I guess not everybody listens to the Boneyard. They should. But it doesn't matter how many updates I post. It doesn't matter how many times we talk about it on the show, how many times I tweet it. There are people that reach me. I don't have access to that information. I'm not being disrespectful or coy. I love you all. I am very appreciative that you bought books, more than I can possibly say. But I'm not responsible for shipping. I don't have these like hoarded up in my garage and, you know, I'm just, you know, just shipping out a few a day. It's not how it works. I have a publisher. Publisher has shipped everything. Everything that was ordered up until Friday. There were a couple of personalizations that I had to sign on Saturday and those went out today. So everything has been shipped. Give it a couple days. If you don't have it in a couple days, go to the DutyNobleBook.com website, click on the Contact Us link, include your order number. That makes everything quicker because they can put your order number in and then they can find your tracking information and share that with you. And if there's a problem, they'll research it. You know what? And if there's a problem out there, we'll send you some more books. Okay? You're not going to be out. But as I've shared with you guys before, they had thousands and thousands of books to take care of. And I think they've actually done pretty well. It never goes out as quickly as I want it to, right? It's my name on the book, right? Because that's exactly the reason we're talking now. It's my name on the book and these people represent me. And so it never goes out as quickly as I want. But I don't know that job, right? I understand, you know, there's a million labels that you got to print. There's boxes you got to build. There's a lot of things that go into this. It's not as simple as, okay, we got a truckload of books. Everything can go out tomorrow. It takes time. And especially when there's personalization, it takes even more time because we have to kind of coordinate with my schedule so I can sign your personalizations. And I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to do it. But it does take a little longer. And so everything has been shipped. And if you order today, there's a good chance your book's going to go out probably tomorrow or the next day. Yeah, because they're in a good place now. They're caught up. We had that big, incredible number of pre-orders. And then once the book was delivered to the warehouse, we had another big run of orders. I mean, guys, we're talking like 100 a day. And so I say that because I'm very proud of the people that are involved in all this. And you'll never know their names. And they're doing a job for me and for you and for the publisher. And I want to thank them. And it can get frustrating at times. It does. When you order something, especially when you see everybody else's social media pictures, you're like, man, I can't wait to read that book, and I'm having to wait, and other people already have it. You know, I get it, but it has been shipped. And again, if you don't have it in a couple days, hit them up at the DutyNobleBook.com website, okay? Before we get into our recap of the game that we won, thank goodness, it is important for us to give a tip of the cap to Mississippi State Soccer. They will be in action a little bit later on Tuesday, and we'll talk a little bit about that on Wednesday, depending on the outcome of the show, of the game, as you guys are well aware. But, impressive postseason accolades for your Soccer Dogs. It's not to be surprised, right? I mean, but to be honest with you, I think it was probably more than I expected. We had 9 Bulldogs earn honors. 9. It's pretty remarkable. And so James Armstrong, probably a unanimous selection. I don't know what the voting looked like, but anybody that voted against him is just a hater. James Armstrong, your SEC Coach of the Year. Macy Hodge, I'm a Macy Hodge super fan, I admit it. I love her outlook on the game. It's not just because she has tattoos. She dominates in the midfield, and she is so good in the air, and she is your midfielder of the year for the Southeastern Conference. Maddie Anderson, the top goalkeeper in the conference. And then Riley Combs, who does not get enough recognition because she doesn't score, right? But she is an absolute brick wall back there. Absolutely unafraid of contact, unafraid, and plays smart in the box. Because you can have some players that are a little bit overly aggressive in the box, and they can put you in a PK situation. Riley Combs understands discretion is a better part of valor, does an amazing job, very intelligent player. Good to see her be recognized for that. Looking at your first team, All-SEC, of course, all three of those ladies made it. And then Allie Perry makes it. No surprise there as a midfielder. And so 4 Bulldogs on the SEC first team. You get to the second team, Zoe Main, who has really been quite resurgent down the stretch. Second team, Alana Izquierdo and Alexis Gutierrez. I think Alexis Gutierrez may have one of the better legs in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, like, when it's time to clear the ball, I want her to do it. Great. And then Atana Martinez Montoya makes third team. And then all SEC freshman team, Kennedy Husbands, who scored 3 goals in the last 4 games. So pretty incredible. And the Bulldogs will take on Tennessee. We have not played Tennessee this year. I would have liked to have played Auburn at some point because it's to check that box. But Auburn upset by LSU. Let's give you a really quick overview of how the tournament has gone so far, and then we're going to get into football, we've got a little baseball, and then, of course, we'll take a break, and we'll talk basketball. Yeah, season opener. Season opener at the Hump tonight. Pretty impressive. And if you're like me, it's like there's some years like you can talk yourself into it. You know what I mean? It's like, I think we're going to be good. I don't think we've had to do a lot of talking this year. I think when you look at our additions in the portal, I think you feel good about that. I do. Not to mention, I look at what Chris Jans has done. And I look at what Chris Jans is doing. And I think one could argue this may be his most talented team. Fair enough? Yeah. All right. So let's take a quick look. Again, get you up to date here on the schedule. So Sunday was round 1. The Bulldogs had a day of rest. And your top 4 seeds obviously get Sunday and Monday off, and Mississippi State obviously one of those. So Georgia beats Texas A&M. Number 7 seed Georgia beats A&M 1-0. You know, we went down and beat A&M at their place. A&M needed to get a win in the tournament to keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive. They didn't get it. Georgia, of course, a team that scored on Mississippi State. In a road game down there, we were trying to kind of get over get out of the clouds a little bit, and came back to win that game. Georgia advances. And then, of course, as mentioned, LSU, number 11 seed LSU, upsets number 6 Auburn. You got to wonder, does that cost Auburn in the hosting discussion? It may. Tennessee, of course, beats Kentucky. That's a 9-8 matchup, pretty much a toss-up. And Kentucky played a weird game against us. I'm kind of glad not to see them again. But Tennessee 1-0 winners. And again, we'll see Tennessee on Tuesday. Alabama, number 12 seed Alabama upsets number 5 Vanderbilt 2-1. So a couple of big upsets early on in this tournament. Okay, Tuesday's action. There are no games played on Monday. Tuesday, Arkansas and Georgia. That's two Arkansas versus number 7 seed Georgia. That's going to be 11:30 kick. Game two of the day is number 3 Texas versus number 11 LSU. Mississippi State's beating all four of those teams. And then Mississippi State and Tennessee. That's a 4:30 central kick on the SEC network. All this action on the network. And then the nightcap, South Carolina versus number 12 Alabama. I love chaos as long as we're not part of it, unless we're the ones causing the chaos. So that's where we are. So the winners on Tuesday will play on Thursday. So Wednesday's a day off. Chance to get your legs back under you. You win on Thursday, you get Friday and Saturday off, and it's a championship game on Sunday. Yeah, so Mississippi State needs to win 3 games to win the SEC Tournament Championship. I don't know if that's the way to go or not. I mean, to play that many games, we played so many games here as of late. But I'd like to win one. You know, just win one, and if you get beat in the semis, that's cool, you know, because the chances are we're going to be playing, you know, probably South Carolina. I'd like to win that game, but, you know, it's okay, you know. I don't think we have to win the tournament to really change much as far as our seeding, and, you know, unless somehow Duke loses or something, and then we could potentially maybe go to number one. But I like where we sit. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company, and you should too if you don't already. Chances are you already have a raging love affair with Bulldog Burger Company. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that great restaurant quality hamburger. It is one of the fine delicacies we afford ourselves in life. And here's the thing too. You can get it with a gluten-free bun. You can get it with no bun. Get it on a bed of lettuce. You can have it your way. And maybe you don't feel like a burger today. Get that BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. Get those Sloppy Joe sliders. There's a lot of good options there. A lot of good options. No matter what you have a hankering for, they have a scratch for your itch. 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Go by and check them out. You'll be glad you did. When you're in town or on the way to town, there's a good chance there's a Bulldog Burger Company near you. You can stop and enjoy a great meal with friends or family. Have an adult beverage, whether it's a night out with friends or a lunch with colleagues. Bulldog Burger Company is a place to go to put your feet under their table and let them just kind of take care of everything. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. You know, it feels so good to win. And I think a lot of this one is just, it's more of a relief, right? And you and I, let's go ahead and admit it, that first couple of minutes, we were thinking, holy smokes. It's okay to admit it. And I know some people, you know, there are a lot of prisoners at the moment out there, and social media allows people to imprison themselves. And then they don't go back and delete their tweets, you know, or their message board posts and things like that. But we all felt that way. Don't shame those people when you felt the same way I did. I'm sitting there thinking, when they went down the field like a knife through butter, I'm thinking, you know what? We're fixing to lose this game. That's how it felt because, you know, we couldn't do anything offensively early on, and it felt like they could kind of do what they wanted to do. So let's go ahead and get it started. UMass wins a toss and defers. So for the 9th straight game, Jeff Lebby and the Bulldogs are on offense again. I even asked him about this a little bit on Monday. You know, ideally you'd like to have it first. Not a hard and fast rule, but by and large you would. So you're kind of getting what you want, even though you haven't gotten necessarily what you want in the win-loss column. At least you're starting the game way you want to. So we take the touchback there. Buren, you know, back to pass. And then, to be honest with you, I thought there was P.I. here. Right out of the gate, they give it a PBU. I thought that Ellis climbed Akari's back a little bit here, but nevertheless, here we go, 2nd and 10. We give it to Booth off the right side for nothing. Makes it a 3rd and 10. And it got a little crazy here. It got a little crazy here. We take a shot here, and it's a very convoluted thing, right? It's incomplete, and then there is like this delay because initially they called it a completion. Initially, it's like, hey, he doesn't have it. Now, the DBs from UMass got up immediately and were waving it incomplete. Now, their judgment's not always the most unbiased, but they were right here. So again, it is incomplete, but it was a pretty good attempt there But when they go to review, yes, it was incomplete. So they reversed the call there. Doesn't go State's way, but it does appear after review that it was the right call, much as we don't like it. All right, so we get it away. And I thought here that there was roughing the punter. We didn't even get a running into the punter. There was clearly contact on the punter. And they didn't get the ball first. You got the plant leg. Ends up being a 51-yard punt. And Nick Barmira, you know, I hate to say it this way, but he's being wasted in kind of a bad season. Nick Barmira is having a really good year for Mississippi State, as is Kyle Ferry, for that matter. All right, they take over at the 24. And Tyson drops back, is complete for 13 yards. You think, okay, all right, let's wake up, dogs. And it's a short pass, complete for 5 yards, makes it second and five. They give it to Jaylen John, who's ahead for one. Brings it third and four, chance for us to get off the field. Pass complete on the left side for 6 yards. And to T.Y. Harding, we talked about him as a guy that we had to really watch. He didn't have a lot of explosive plays in this game. But, yeah, guys got a little wiggle to him. But they move the chains again. So, again, two quick first downs here. And now on first and 10, right around midfield, they give it to Hester, who's up the middle for six. So a very good gain on first down, makes it second and four. Quarterback gets flushed, runs off left side for two. Third and two, again, chance for us to get off the field. They give it to Hester, right to the middle of the field for five. Moves chains again, third first down of the drive. Pass incomplete, and Paca nearly gets a sack here. And Paca, we signed him as a depth piece. And he's a guy that's shown a little flash at times, and I think here as of late, maybe he's gotten more reps, maybe a little more coaching. He's kind of stepping up and doing some things. You know, we're not where we need to be on the defensive front by any means. But I think in the middle, he is a guy that is kind of beginning to improve down the stretch. All right, second and 10. They run off the left side 20 yards here. And it was like, as it's happening, it's like you're asking yourself, is this really happening? Yes, this is really happening. Now first and 10 inside the red zone from the State 18. Tyson scrambles to the left. He gets three, second and seven. They give it to Campbell up the middle for three. Third and four, again, chance for us to get out the field. What happens? It's complete for 9 yards. Now it's first and goal. And then up the middle for three. People are not going to respect us. You know, on that interior running defense, they're not going to respect us until we prove we can stop them. And we have not been able to stop anybody. All right, extra points good, 7-0. All right, we get kickoff here. We returned this one, and I asked Jeff Levy about this too. I said, you know, coach, there's been a lot of times this year kicks have looked returnable. We fair caught them. Is that kind of by design? And again, it's a week-to-week deal. They felt like they had an opportunity to make some returns this week, and they did. But 21 yards here out to the State 22. Van Buren gets flushed, runs off the left side for a gain of 5 yards. You think, okay, it's a heady play. We're okay. And what do? We give it right back? We give it right back. False start. Not everybody was set, if memory serves me correct. Now all of a sudden it's second and 10. So we have the heady play from the freshman quarterback to evade pressure, take a negative play into a positive play, and then we, unforced error, give it right back. Now it's second and 10. And then Van Buren on the zone read there gets stacked up for a loss of three, makes it third and 13, and then we get sacked. And right here, I began to hear some boos. Now, here's my feelings on that. I never boo Mississippi State. I'll boo the officials. I really don't boo the other team unless they're showboating, but I'm not a proponent of booing our team. And I get it. You know, you buy tickets, you're frustrated, you feel like, hey, it's my right to voice my displeasure. I understand that. It's just not something that I would do. I'm not judging you. You do what you want to do. It's not something I would do. All right, Nick Bomira gets a punt off just 38 yards here and then 7 yards on the return. And so they're right back in business because they're on our side of 50 starting their second drive. It's a run to the right side, a QB keeper for a gain of 9. So it's a second short right out of the gate. What do you do? Just give it an inside give here, and it's 3 yards, first down. Now first and 10 from the State 32. Quarterback keeper, again, off the right side for 12. And you can tell this guy's played some football. He didn't get to finish the game with us. But, I mean, the kid's got some ability. All right, first and 10 from our 20. And it's complete to Lay, first down. Now it's first and 10, essentially first and goal from the 10. They give it to Jackson for a gain of one and give the defense a little credit here for bowing up. Because at some point, you got to put your foot in the ground and say enough. And this is kind of where it happens. On second and 9, a quarterback keeper to the left for a gain of two. And then we nearly pick it here. Zachary Tillman nearly had a pick, and then Green Grass and Glory ahead of him ends up being just a PBU. But we, you know, we force a field goal there. It's 10-0, but it's a two-possession game, and we didn't do much at all on those first two possessions, right? I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, how bad offensively we were to start this ball game. We got to go in the middle quarters, okay? As, again, that's why we don't tweet in the first quarter, unless we're winning. But Davin Booth sets us up here. Again, you know, 40-yard return. And he's got some ability. He really does. So we talk about his vision at times in close quarters or in his running play. Sometimes he'll run the backside of a lineman. As a kick returner, at times he's been able to kind of find the seam. He does here. So we give it to Booth off the left side for no gain. And then Van Buren complete 14 yards to Booth. And we're up around midfield now. First down. First down of the game for Mississippi State. And then we take a shot here, and it's incomplete for Coleman. Again, PBU by Jarrell Johnson there. And then we take another shot to Justin Ball, and it's incomplete. And so we end the quarter, you know, down 10-0. But statistically, UMass with 113 yards in the first quarter, Mississippi State with 10. 10. They had ran for 70 yards. We were minus 4. They had thrown for 43. We'd thrown for 14. We also had a penalty, of course, that negated a nice first down gain. And they were pretty balanced in their attack, too. It wasn't like they were just going to line up and run right at us. I mean, there were 4 first down passes. There were 4 first down rushes. They were very good on third down. We were struggling. In every aspect of the game, at the end of this quarter, it's like, Steve, we're about to get beat by UMass at home. Please tell me there's something to feel good about. And at this point, I couldn't tell you that. We'd had the ball for 4 minutes and 14 seconds through the first quarter of play. Was not a good start for your Bulldogs. But give Van Buren and the offense some credit. Like, hey, we got to get back in this game, and we got to get points on the board. Why don't we do? Van Buren is incomplete for 11 yards to Kevin Coleman. In addition to that, they flagged them for roughing the passer, and there were multiple shots late. Some got called, some didn't, but it was pretty clear they wanted to be in Van Buren's face and make him uncomfortable. There were a couple times he stood in there and took some big shots and still delivered the football. That's about building trust with your teammates. Now it's 1st and 10 at the UMass 18. It's incomplete, and guess what? It's P.I. And I think they threw a P.I. maybe on about half of the P.I.s that were actually committed. True story. Now it's 1st and goal at their 4. Incomplete, trying to get it to Mosley there. In our face a little bit. And then Van Buren runs off the right side and into the end zone. A nice little move there by Mike to get in. Now it's 10-7. The students are into it. Thought the students were great. Some of you guys left at halftime. And I get it. You know, that was all year I've heard, well, you know, Steve, it's hot. We're losing. Guys, it was cool and we were winning. And you still left at the halftime. Let me tell you this. If you can't trust her to go back to her apartment or the dorm at halftime, she's not yours anyway. All right. Extra points good. We kick off. Another touchback. Nick Barmier doing a good job. 1st and 10 from their 25. They take a shot here, and it's incomplete. However, they flag Brolin in there for P.I. To me, in live action, and going back and watching the game tape, this was O.P.I. This is O.P.I. This is O.P.I. And it seemed very obvious to me. You got to let – if they're both going to hand fight – you got to let them both hand fight. But just before the ball gets there, Ladson shoves Lanier down, and they flag Lanier for P.I. I didn't like the call. I thought it was terrible. I'm sure they'll send us a letter of apology, which means absolutely nothing. You know, I don't need the apology. Just stop doing it. Just stop doing it. All right, so now it's 1st and 10 at their 40 after that gift of a penalty. Hester off the left side for 8. On 2nd and 2, they go up the middle for 4. So they're moving to change again. You're thinking, you know what, Steve, I've already seen this movie twice, and both times it ends with points for UMass. We needed somebody to make a play, and thankfully somebody did. 1st and 10 on the 48. They go back up to Hester for 4, which brings up 2nd and medium, 2nd and 6. They give it to Campbell for 4 yards, 3rd and short now. And they run to the middle to get a gain of 2. Nick Mitchell and J.P. Purvis nearly forced a fourth down here. But instead, they get the first down at our 38. They decide to take a shot. The pass is long. Lanier doesn't give up on it. Makes a very athletic play. They elect to review it, which was a waste of precious life. I mean, we're only going to get so many days, minutes, and years. It's true. And then we wasted some there. Look, we want to get the call right. There's nothing to review. There's nothing to review. But nevertheless, State gets a stop, a significant stop, gives us the ball back and a chance to tie or take the lead here. We begin the drive on our three-yard line and put together one of our best drives of the year, even though we had a little bit of help from them. Johnny Daniels just gashes him, and he is easily emerging as State's best back. In my estimation, Booth has been a very capable Robin to his Batman. I think Johnny Daniels is the best on the interior. That's my opinion. And we get 35 yards here. And it always seems like when we gash somebody, it's Johnny Daniels doing it. That's just my take. Van Buren then takes a shot here. It's picked. However, it's roughing the passer. And if you go back and watch the game tape, it could have easily been holding in the secondary as well. And so a lot of things go wrong here, but ultimately State gets the first down. Now, first and 10 across midfield at their 47. MVB steps up, and it's complete to Jordan Mosley for 12. First and 10 now at their 35. It's complete to Coleman. And it's like we're finding some rhythm here. We're able to make some plays in the throw game. Second and 3, we give it to Daniels up the middle for 1. On 3rd and 2, Mike keeps it and then moves the first down. Kind of a scrum here too. A little bit of help there. And then Van Buren, beautiful route by Sadu Traor. His first touchdown. He should have had one last week, but he was, you know, cheated out of that. And rather than throw the ball in the stands, he just, you know, tosses it over to the official. It is now a 14-10 ball game, and then order has been restored. And you start thinking, if we can get a stop and get a little separation, maybe we can put these guys behind us. Thankfully, another touchback by Nick Barmira. Yeah. First and 10 from their 25, they give it to Campbell off the left side for a gain of 12. And there's too much of that. There's too much success running the football on first down against this Mississippi State defense. You don't need me to tell you that, but it's worth repeating. First and 10 from their 37. They give it to Campbell off the left side for 4 on 2nd and 6. Ball across the middle. And nice play here by Stone Blanton, who breaks it up to force a 3rd and 6. And then to make it crazy, we get flagged for delay of game. And they called it for disconcerting signals on Nick Mitchell for clapping. You know, because that's the thing now. People clap for the snap as a quarterback. Nobody says hut anymore. And so they flag us. So we take it from a 3rd and 6 to a 3rd and 1. Turns out it really wouldn't matter. The quarterback keeps it and runs for a gain of 7, moves chains. 1st and 10 now from the State 47. It's incomplete off the left side. And Trevion Williams gets up there and gets a big paw and knocks it down. 2nd and 10, Hester off the left side for 1. So 3rd and 9 chance for us to get off the field here. And they called this thing incomplete. But I'll tell you this. Nick Mitchell and the Bulldogs brought some pressure here. And I'll be honest with you, I had no clue what was about to happen. None whatsoever. Is Kelly Jones going to pick this ball off and go for a touchdown? Is it going to be called? Is it going out of bounds? Is it going to be a sack? There was a lot of things that happened on this play, and they were all kind of dictated by your defense. And so the much maligned Bulldog defense, I thought Coleman Hutzler dialed up a little more exotic pressure. We talked about that last week. Nothing ever seems to change. This was a little more exotic, and you forced the quarterback into kind of a check down situation, and nearly he throws a touchdown for us. 46-yard punt. State gets the ball back now. And again, what you had to have, we talk about complimentary football, right? You put points on the board. You get a stop by your defense. Now you get the ball back, chance to get separation. All right, Coleman off the left side for a loss of 8. Sometimes we get a little bit too cute with the jet sweep stuff, but also in this situation here, it really wasn't a play call. We got beat at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, so it's 2nd and 18. And then what do you know? Van Buren's like, it's no big deal. I got it. It's complete for 28 yards to J-Mo and out to the 40-yard line. And then on top of that, there is a personal foul on Ellis. Yeah, so big play, and with the additional personal foul penalty, we're across midfield at their 45. Xavier Gayton comes in, runs off the right side for a loss of 3 yards, and again, we get beat at the line of scrimmage here. 2nd and 13 behind the chains again. I mean, you got to think, Worst case scenario, we get a yard or two running off the left side there, right side. I mean, just running off the guard at times. We got to be able to get a yard or two. But no, we're behind the chains. And again, that's happening. Other teams are able to get success against us on first down running the football, but we have not had the same level of success. We're running the football better, but we got to be better on first down. Second, 13, up the middle, complete for 7, makes it a manageable third down. And we give it to Booth, and he gets about 5 yards here. And then the offensive line got him another yard. As he's standing up and still churning his legs, the scrum gets involved here, and they move him forward. First and 10 now. The crowd really appreciating the effort there. Booth gets it again up the middle for 5. Man, you love that. You love 5 on first. Second and 5, we're out to Coleman for 4. I thought we were right at the sticks. They marked us a little bit short. Makes it 3rd and 1. Booth's like, no big deal. I'll go off the left side for 8, move the chains. Now it's 1st and 10 at their 18. And we catch him here, right? They jump, we get the snap, and try to get the slant into Stonka there for his first collegiate touchdown. It's incomplete, but it's a 5-yard penalty. We go right, we basically run the same play. On 1st and 5, we go back to it, and this wasn't there. 2nd and 5, Booth up the middle for 11, which sets up a 1st and goal from the 2. And then Michael Van Buren again off the right side for a touchdown. The first Bulldog to run for multiple touchdowns as a quarterback in a game since Garrett Schrader did it in the 2019 Egg Bowl. How about that? There's a stat for you. Extra points good. Bulldogs now lead 21-10. Touchback from Nick Barmira. And now, again, you kind of get the feeling this thing is starting to go State's way. And you kind of could sense that with UMass too. And I really thought the defense up front started to maybe feel it a little bit. You know what I mean? We're up a couple of scores. We've got an opportunity here. And I thought we were very aggressive defensively here. Nick Mitchell and Joseph Head both combined for the TFL of 3. We call timeout here trying to save some clock so maybe we can go score again since they get the ball first at the half. All right, 2nd and 13. It's a completed pass for 6. And again, Isaac Smith, Stone Blanton make a nice tackle and makes it 3rd and 7. We take our second timeout. On 3rd and 7, the ball is incomplete. And I guess this is actually the play that I was talking about. You know, we brought the exotic pressure here, and it was incredible. I really thought Kelly was going to pick it, but Joseph Head credited with the hurry there. But it's good to see us on 3rd down being more – I want to be PG-13 when I say this. But let's say cojones to the wall on 3rd down and not just playing bend but not break. You know, we got to get after people, and we did. All right, 4th and 7 gives us an opportunity here from our 36 with 1:29 to go and a timeout to work with. Maybe we can get a chance to get some points here. And we dial up a deep shot to Kelly Akari, and it is on the absolute money. Akari is probably going to score, and he drops the football, and that's just not like him. But could have been a much different game at the half if with a catch and run there. But, again, we managed the clock pretty well and had our chance there. And then on 2nd and 10, what do you know? We get it to Coleman, who makes a couple people miss in the open field. He's up near midfield for 1st down. And plenty of time here. It's 1:15 to go. And you're thinking, okay, maybe we can get a field goal out of this. Kyle Ferry is good from 50, from 50 in, right? You feel confident with that. I do. And so on 1st and 10, we get sacked, loss of 5 yards. But it's not the end of the world. We call timeout here, 2nd and 15, and then we give it to Johnny. He runs up the middle for 8, and then the clock moves, and then we give up a sack on 3rd and 7. And rather than take a shot on a Hail Mary, we just let the clock run out. I don't like how we managed it down the stretch here. And again, I'm sure Jeff Lebby doesn't either. I mean, nobody designs these plays and say, hey, let's go lose 5. You know, that's not the case. But I felt this was kind of a missed opportunity for us and would like to have seen us take the 2-minute drill and put that ball in the end zone, or at least get a field goal out of it. But at the half, your Bulldogs lead 21-10.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, we're back in the third quarter, and of course, UMass receives the kick to open the quarter due to their decision to defer and give the Bulldogs the ball first to open the game. State defends the north goal here. And of course, it's a touchback. Prior to the snap, there is a false start and a backup quarterback in the ball game for UMass. So not a great start here. You're already going out with a second team guy. You've got him all gassed up and you're behind the chains. First and 15 now from their 20. Quarterback keeper off the right side for three. Makes it a second 12. We nearly get to him. He scrambles and gets loose and pushes ahead for 9 yards. Makes it a third and three. Now here we go. We hadn't been great on third and short in the first half, but here we go. Nice play here. A'shaun Shepherd, Brandon Jennings on the honors for a TFL of one. Makes it fourth and four. And against State with a two-possession lead and a chance to really put this game away here. State takes over at their own 32. Booth off the left side for six. And then there is a personal foul on top of that. I believe it was a face mask, if memory serves me correct. Makes it first and 10 across midfield at their 48. We give it to Booth off the right side for five. State finding some success on the ground here. And as I say that, second and five, it is a loss of one. On third and six, we go to Johnny Daniels up the middle for an 8-yard gain. Makes it first down. And then back to Daniels again. One of the more athletic runs we've had this year. Very physical run. Right up the gut for 36 yards and basically split two defenders and allowed them to kind of run along with them as he powered through them for the score. And Ferry on the PAT makes it 28-10. At this point, you felt like Mississippi State was in a great position to win this football game. And give the defense credit, you know, they did their part too to kind of make sure this thing didn't get a little bit dicey down the end here. Back to pass and Bryce Pollock with a pass breakup here makes a second and 10. Bryce beginning to play really well for State. Jalen John off the right side for one. Really, I guess half a yard. Makes it third and 10. And then we give up an 11-yard pass to move the chains. First and 10 at their 36. It's complete for 10 more. So back-to-back first downs. Now approaching midfield at their 46. Quarterback keeper up the middle for three. Makes it second and 7. And it's a pass complete for 6 yards, makes it third and one. Again, chance for us to get off the field. But what do? They run on the interior up the middle for 7 yards. First and 10 now at our 38. They take a shot here. Ball is incomplete. Second and 10. They give it to Brandon Campbell up the middle for a 5-yard gain. Third and five, more of a manageable situation. And then what do you know? It's a sack. Kyle McClendon, Deontay Anderson credited here with half a sack apiece. Really big play in a ball game too. Even though we had some separation, you didn't want them to kind of ease their way back into it. First and 10, they punt it away. Proves to be a touchback. First and 10 now from our 20. Van Buren complete for just 4 yards. And then on second and 6, Van Buren then complete to 12 for Jordan Mosley. J-Mo with a really good game. First and 10 now from our 36. We give the Booth off the right side for 6. You're starting to see run efficiency on first down. I don't know what State changed or what UMass may have changed, but all of a sudden we start having, again, some success first down efficiency here. Second and 4. Van Buren scrambles and gets 17 yards here. I like it when Mike runs. I don't like it when Mike slides, but I do like it when Mike runs. And you got to protect him. Incomplete there. And they ruled it as a drop. I don't know that it was, but they ruled it a drop. Second and 10 now. Pretty impressive play here, right? We take a shot to Booth. It's incomplete. And then it's a PI, right? And it was a pretty obvious call. Now makes it first and 10 now from the UMass 30. We give it to Booth off the left side, and he sprints in for the score. It's now 35-10. And those of us that were still there, that were not committed to an overnight stay, or had work to do with the ball game began making their way towards the exits. As the immortal Jack Crystal would say, there was action in the aisles after this one. Touchback, of course. And again, State now have 25 points here. It's a four-possession game, so State has the game in hand. And on first and 10, it's complete for 13 yards. That moves chains, makes it first and 10 from their 38. Quarterback keeper at the middle, stacked up for no gain. Paca with a nice play there, makes it second and 10. Hostin scrambles to the left for seven. State got some pressure on him there, too. Zakari Tillman, Stone Blanton team up for the stop there. On third and 3, the pass is complete for 6. Now we're across midfield here. First and 10 now. John off the left side for just 1. And on second and 9, he scrambles for a gain of 3. And then we get flagged for riding him out of bounds. It was a very obvious call. I'm not quite sure what Isaac Smith was doing there, who has been an amazing player for us. But I don't know if we just lost kind of a sense of where we are on the field. But we ride him out of bounds and give them 15 yards here. That it would have been a 3rd and 6. 3rd and 6 from our 45-yard line. But instead, that runs out the quarter and gives them a first down to continue the drive. So we start the fourth quarter and final quarter of the game. It's 1st and 10. John at the middle for 8. And on 2nd and 2, Jackson Paradise, depending on where you're from, at the middle for 3, moves the chains. 1st and 10 now. Paradis again out the middle for just the 1-yard gain. 2nd and 9. Pass complete for this 1 yard. Very nice tackle in open space by Corey Ellington here to force the 3rd and long situation. 3rd and 8. They take a shot here at the T.Y. Harden, but it's Bryce Pollock again breaking it up at the goal line, and they kick a field goal. So they do get some points on here, but it's just, And again, it goes back to that play. If we don't give them the first down, who knows how this drive ends up here. But nevertheless, field goal attempt is good from 35 yards. All right, let's see here. 1st and 10 now from our 25 after the touchback. Van Buren complete for 7 yards. And then there is a personal foul on Jacoby Jackson that backs us up half a distance to the goal. But if I'm not mistaken, it was a face mask penalty, one of those inadvertent jobs, but the umpires are going to see those more times than not. Now it's 1st and 22 from the 13. Again, the game is over here, but you'd like to be able to do some cool things here. And so we lay it out for Jordan Mosley. They initially threw a flag for P.I., but J-Mo makes the catch, pulls it down. They pick up the flag and say there was no P.I. Now, we're going to decline this penalty anyway, but there was pass interference on the play without any question. And the fact that, you've already thrown the flag. We're going to decline it. Just go through with the call. Don't sit here and say, there wasn't any foul. There absolutely was P.I. on this. It's a joke. Now, 1st and 10 at their 32. And then one play, we go from our 13 to their 32. Really nice throw from Mike. Mike's got really, really good touch on that deep ball. All right, so we are complete now to Akari for 17 yards. Inside the red zone now, 1st and 10 from their 15. We're incomplete to Burnside, broken up by Lake Ellis. McGill in the backfield there, kind of rushed the throw. 2nd and 10 from their 15. It's incomplete for Burnside again here. However, it's P.I. Now it's 1st and 10 from the 10, officially 1st and goal. We take another shot here at Stanka trying to get him in there and make some things happen, and incomplete. We give it to Daniels on 2nd and 10. He gets 4, makes it 3rd and manageable, and we take a shot here to Seydoux, and they break it up there, and it just really wasn't there. And then we Ferry again on the field goal there. Kyle Ferry again quietly having a very good year for Mississippi State. So it's 38-13 now. Touchback again from Nick. Pretty incredible. Harrison is then up the middle for 9. And J.P. Purvis on the tackle there. Now 2nd and 1 from their 34. 4-yard gain here. Moves chains. 1st and 10. We get another sack there. And Ty Cooper, really great effort here. Ty, initially the contact in the encounter kind of takes him by the quarterback who steps up, but Ty frees himself, works back to the quarterback, makes a big sack. I thought Ty Cooper had his best game in the Bulldog uniform. 2nd and 13, Brandon Campbell at the middle for 7, makes it 3rd and 6. They take a shot here, and it's incomplete. 4th and 6, they punt it away. Jaden Wiley, a Jaden Wiley sighting, returns 10 yards. Good to see Jaden out there running around. No longer wearing 11, wearing 10. First and 10 now from our 22. This is the penalty. Yeah. They end up flagging us for offsides on this. I think that's right. No, this is a different play. My mistake. So first and 10 from our 22. We get it out to San Frisco McGee for six. Good to see Frisco in the game. And Xavier Gaten, shiny moment. 72 yards, touchdown. And essentially untouched. He had to kind of evade a diving tackle there in the five. And I thought they were going to catch him. And give the kid credit, man. Give the kid from UMass credit. Man, this game is over, right? This game is over. This drive is over. But the kid never gave up. I give him credit for that. And those are the kind of things, too, when you're looking for players in the portal. And I'm not sure how much eligibility that kid's got left. But you're going to look at that. You know, how does the guy play when his team is losing? Does he still give max effort? Well, that kid did. Ultimately, Gaten gets in the end zone. And congratulations to he and his family. But I was impressed with the pursuit there. I really was. But, again, the headline is Xavier Gaten's first collegiate touchdown. Extra points good. Now it's 45-13. All right, touchback again. I mean, it's like it's just a broken record, man. And it's so fun to say, right? We don't give him anything. All right, Hester then rushes off left side for seven, makes a second and three. Hester out the middle for five to move the chains. First and 10 now from the 37. It's complete to T.Y. Harding, Cooper, and Ty Morant on the tackle, and Jordan Morant. Jordan Morant made a couple nice plays too. All right, second and five. Hester off the right side for just three, makes it third and two, a chance for us to get off the field. What do? We stack it up. Or Ty Cooper knifing through there for a TFL, makes it a loss of two. Makes it fourth and four. They like to punt here. And this is the one we were talking about, right? So it's all done. The offense is on the field. Their defense is on the field. And then the officials get together and say, yeah, there was an illegal formation. So, yeah, it was a fourth and four. That's a five-yard penalty. That gives UMass the ball back with a first down. Our sideline was really, really incensed here. Harrison back in at quarterback. They end up playing three quarterbacks in the game. Up the middle for a gain of two. On second and eight, Harrison is complete for 6 yards out to Sterling Galban. Across midfield at State 44. Third and two now. Hester up the middle for a gain of 17 yards. And this is where you start thinking, you start worrying a little bit about do they get a touchdown here late. Third and two, that 17-yard gain. And on first and 10, it's incomplete. Second and 10, it's incomplete again. However, we're offsides. Corey Clark, a guy that we signed as a depth piece, having to play big snaps for Mississippi State, gets flagged here for the infraction. Makes it second and five. They give it out the middle to Hester, who gets five. That moves the chains. And then it's complete 16 yards for a touchdown. I mean, there's just, you know, there's, you know, 69 seconds left to go. I guess it wasn't a touchdown. Yeah, he didn't get in there. Okay, first and goal from the one. He didn't get in. Run off left side for a three, and then it's a touchdown pass. My mistake. But, yeah, I mean, it's 17 seconds to go in the game. When I said that about it's just 69 seconds, well, that's nice to say. I didn't think the timing was correct, and I was mistaken. Extra point is good. We get we run this one back. It's kind of a grounder. Booth runs it out for about 10 yards, and then we take a knee, and that's it. That's it. That's a ball game. State wins 45-20. We expected to win this game. We did win this game. Pretty happy to have won this game. Looking at the final numbers, Van Buren, nothing real flashy, but I thought he played really well. 14 of 25 for 222 yards, just 56%. That'll only get better. Kevin Coleman, 5 for 52. The headliner on the day, though, was Jordan Mosley, 4 grabs for 107 yards. Of course, the long of 55 certainly helps. He was targeted 5 times and caught 4 passes. That dog will hunt, right? Kelly Akari targeted 3 times, had the 1 drop and then 1 catch for 17 yards. Booth, 1 for 14. You know, so, yeah, pretty, you know, again, nothing real flashy, but really the story is the running game. Mississippi State with 3 guys would get big yards. I say big yards. Really good yards. Daniel, 6 of 92 for a touchdown. Booth, 11 for 76 and a touchdown. Xavier Gaten, 2 for 69 and a touchdown. Michael Van Buren, 9 attempts, 14 yards, a couple touchdowns for him. So 241 yards on the ground for your Bulldogs. More times than not, you're going to win when you get those kind of numbers. what happens is when you get down in a ball game and you have to throw all the time because you're chasing the game, it's difficult to get caught up. But Stone Blanton, 14 tackles for your Bulldogs. Also a pass breakup. Nick Mitchell, one of his better games too. Nick is a guy too that's been a career special teamer, but in recent weeks he's elevated his game a little bit. 10 tackles. Also had a quarterback hurry to go along with that. Corey Ellington, a guy that we missed the first month of the season, appears to be kind of in midseason form now. 9 tackles for him. Isaac Smith for 7. Ty Cooper, I mentioned, probably his best game as a Bulldog. He has 7. J.P. Purvis with 7. Kind of an unsung hero of this defense at times. Zachary Tillman, 5 tackles. John Lewis, a guy that went to Media Day to represent the defense, 4 tackles. But, yeah, you can run through here. But, yeah, all in all, I thought the Bulldogs played pretty well, especially in those middle quarters. The first quarter, absolutely dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. When we go back and we begin to think about that 10-yard first quarter, the next three we had 453 yards. Yeah, so we had 10 plays and 10 yards in the first quarter. And we ended up with 463 yards of offense. So, again, the middle quarters we did well. Actually, the second quarter is where State really kind of got some separation there. And pretty good balance, too. 30 rushes, 25 passes. And that's playing with a lead. So, you know, again, when the running game is working well and you're running more than you're passing, typically you're going to win. So pretty impressive in that respect. And a couple penalties, 7 penalties for 62 yards. We were 5 of 9 on third down. You can live with that. We were never in a lot of bad third downs. But that's your ball game. And, again, it feels so good to win. And, again, to throw some love to our specialist here. Nick Barmera, 2 punts for an average of 44.5. And, again, one of those should have been running into the, or at least running into perhaps roughing the kicker. And then Kyle Ferry, again, you know, the 1 field goal. But it's just almost automatic now when Ferry takes the field. I never sweat that, ever. I don't think you guys do either. And so now we get ready to go play Tennessee. We'll talk about them more on Wednesday's show. If you're looking for Tennessee content, we do have the everything Josh Heupel said about Mississippi State and then what the player said about the Bulldogs as well. And all those are free stories over at jeanspage.com. Be sure and check those out. It's time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. A lot of people out there competing for your business, but you know what? Put his 23 years of experience to work for you. Listen, you can go out there and experiment and do a lot of fun stuff with things that really aren't long-lasting or important. But when it comes to your mortgage, you need to deal with a professional. You need to deal with somebody who has the know-how to put you in a good loan and get you to the closing table with a loan that's constructed in a way that not only gets approved, but gives you the ability to have some quality of life. Yeah, get off the hamster wheel of renting and put some roots in the ground. Buy a home. Begin to build some equity. Have something to leave your children. It's a wonderful thing. Blair's phone number is 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Whether you're looking for a game day condo, a new home, or your next home, he's the guy to go to. He knows how to get things done. Again, 23 years of experience, top 1% close ratio in the country, 3 years running. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage. The same level of service followed him. He is a Bulldog through and through. He is my friend. I love Blair. And we've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans of Blair and said, you know what, Steve? I always heard the ad. It didn't matter to me until I needed help, and Blair was able to provide it. So let's kind of skip the guesswork and just go right to Blair. Again, 601-500-2344. Okay, we're going to go quickly today because we got a lot to cover. The top 10 today is a very influential British alternative rock band from the 80s. And these guys are probably as underappreciated in the States as anybody from across the pond. And if you mention the name of the band Stone Roses to anybody from across the way, and we have a lot of professors here that are British, and they'll tell you how much they enjoyed the Stone Roses. Just a couple of albums, but man, that these guys were great. They were groundbreaking. A lot of people wondered, hey, what really happened to true alternative music in the 80s? and we talk about the Smiths, and you talk about The Cure and bands like that, the Stone Roses were kind of that next generation. And they, in turn, kind of influenced, you know, the Blur and Oasis and the Verve and people like that. Matter of fact, our number 10 song, Liam Gallagher from Oasis, said once he heard that song the very first time, he knew he was going to be a musician. And that's a song called Sally Cinnamon. It's your number 10 track today. I think you'll dig that one. It's got a real 80s alt vibe to it. Number 9, Made of Stone. Love this one. Got a very haunting guitar tone, a little bit Cure-ish in some respects. Number 8, 10-story love song. It's got some back masking on it, which is interesting because these songs have an expanded intro. And there's some Hendrix vibe guitar picking type stuff in there too. You can hear some Hendrix influence in some of the Stone Roses stuff. Number 7, great track, Elephant Stone. It's a little different, even from the other stuff. It's one thing I like about the Stone Roses is every song is kind of its own creation. It's not like the same formula over and over and over again. I think you'll dig that. Number 6, a song called Fool's Gold, one of their first big hits. Kind of got a dance vibe to it, too, because they were part of what was called the Madchester movement. They're from Manchester, England. But the rules just simply didn't apply, right? So like every album could be just a smorgasbord of sound. You know, one song is just kind of a guitar-oriented song, and you've got a percussive song, and you've got something with a dance vibe to it. It was all very different. Number 5, a great track called I Am the Resurrection. I think you'll really like that one for sure. All right, number 4, this was one of their first big hits. It's One Love, and no, it's not a cover of the Bob Marley song. I think you'll dig this one too. Again, kind of a song unto itself. Number 3, huge hit, and it's been on some motion picture soundtracks, so it's going to have the ring of familiarity when you listen to it. You're going to say, yeah, I know this song. I never knew that was the Stone Roses, because you probably didn't know who the Stone Roses were. It's a track called I Want to Be Adored. And don't we all want to be adored? At the end of the day, right, when you think about your motivation for doing so much in life, a lot of it is to be loved. Right? And to be loved is great, but to be adored is another, right? But everything that you do, when you really think about it, there's so much that you do to be loved, to be attractive, not just physically, but to be, you know, to be a suitable mate for somebody else. A lot of our activities, no matter if we're honest about them or not, are for somebody else. We talk about, I'm living for me. Well, in some respects, yes. But you don't get out of shower every. You don't get out and take a shower every day and shave and, you know, get all dolled up just to look good for yourself. You may tell yourself that, but that's just not true. We all want to be attractive, and we all want somebody to love us. We do, and that's the greatest thing in life when you have somebody that truly loves you. It is the greatest thing in life to have somebody love you, to choose you, and to be loyal to you. It is an incredible feeling. Number 2. Another song, kind of a cult classic, even though it did get some radio airplay. It's a track called She Bangs the Drums. And it's kind of along those lines too, right? It's about meeting somebody new in some respects. There's a lot of interesting parts to this. There's like the hi-hat and everything in the introduction. There's a great bass line. There's a lot to this song to kind of unpack. Number 1 was my gateway track, Into the Stone Roses. I cannot remember the name of the rock station in Hattiesburg that we had. It played all the modern rock. And I heard it on there. They turned me on to Collective Soul. They turned me on to the Stone Roses. And I went out and I bought the album Second Coming, which was after they got away from Silvertone Records and they signed with Geffen. They had an American distribution deal. So all of a sudden, the Stone Roses were kind of a thing in the U.S. And I was part of that group. And the track is called Love Spreads. Man, I absolutely love it. Love the song. Got some interesting lyrical content to it. But again, it's kind of got a little bit of a Southern rock twang to it. In the guitar tone, over an alternative bass line, which is a little—it's very trippy in that respect. But you know, love spreads, and then he gets to the chorus, and she's my sister. You know, I'm not exactly sure what he means by that. I haven't dug into all that, but we'll leave it up to your own interpretation. But Stone Roses, very, very influential band, and for those of you that. You know, in the mid to late 90s, kind of got into the second wave of that British alternative wave. A lot of that stems from the influence of the Stone Roses. And that's one thing that I love is when I find bands that I love, I like to find out who they're influenced by and then go listen to that. and then kind of go in and kind of see the scarlet thread through it all. I mean, like, you go back and listen to Steppenwolf, and then it's like everything that came after Steppenwolf sounded a lot like Steppenwolf, right? You go back and listen to Zeppelin, and there's a lot of, even today, like, you go listen to Greta Van Fleet, that's Led Zeppelin. Every bit of that is the influence of the bands, you know, and of course, Black Sabbath started everything in heavy metal, you know. You look at all this stuff now today and like power metal and stuff, it all started with Iron Maiden, you know, and so there's so much of that. And so it's interesting to see, you know, younger bands, of course, kind of get off on bands that we kind of grew up with, you know. That's super cool. I love when these tribute albums come out and said, okay, we're gonna do a tribute album, and everybody, all the modern rock stars are gonna do their favorite Bon Jovi song or something, you know, it's Aerosmith or whatever, and to hear like new takes on old favorites is super, super cool. But there you go, your top 10 of the Stone Roses. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, but you should, especially if you like alternative rock. Especially if you like the 80s vibe alternative rock, early 90s, I think you'll dig this one. And I think you'll have some fun with this one. I really do. And again, if you know anything about the British alternative rock scene, you know that Stone Roses, in many respects, was kind of considered, you know, part of the infancy and genesis of that, I guess you could say, because there was a lot of stuff that kind of passed off as alternative rock from England early on that wasn't very good. These guys are really, really good. They just couldn't stay together. And a bass player from Stone Roses went on to join the Primal Scream, and not Motley Crue's Primal Scream, but the British rock band Primal Scream. The great song Rocks. Love it, man. Love it. Love it. And it's like when I hear, I remember the first time I heard Primal Scream, I thought these guys have got to be like, you know, from Little Rock or something, you know. They got to be from Memphis or something. They're not. They're from across the pond. But anyway, love that stuff. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on X. I'm at Scout Steve R. Roy is at Dogmatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under the handle Dogmatic, D-A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C 67. Give Roy a follow. Make it easy. Because I'm shooting darts here, baby. I mean, it's like I'm giving you stuff to expand your musical horizons. And sometimes too, I mean, you listen to 20, 30 seconds of a song, you don't feel it, you move on. You like it, you add it to your list. I think you'll enjoy that. Have some fun. I'm making life easy for you. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. I love Campus Bookmart. I have been there recently. And we'll be there again, too. So nice to see everybody on Saturday before the game. Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you're looking for Mississippi State merch, and it's about to be Christmas, so chances are you are, look for the best. Find the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces and get your complimentary hug, maybe that's just for me. Maybe. But they're great people. They're Bulldogs. Visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. Don't go to Amazon. I know it's convenient, but we need you to support a Starkville business. And as an owner of a Starkville business, of two Starkville businesses, let me encourage you, as always, shop local. And if you need Mississippi State gear, why would you go buy it like in, you know, New Jersey? You'd buy it from Starkville. We know what maroon looks like and it's supposed to look like. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job with every bit of that. So be sure and check them out. And when you visit them at campusbookmart.net, we'll give you a phrase that pays. Promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Roberts, and that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. It was so cool, too, to have so many Boneyard listeners stop by and you know, just kind of say hello. And I wish I could remember everybody's names. I do. And it's not that you're not important to me. But when you meet as many people as I do, it's difficult. But there was one young lady, and I'm going to have to forgive me, but she's very special. Very special. And her dad brought her by, and they already have books, but she wanted to come by and take a picture. And I just wanted to tell her that you made my day. And I wish I could remember your name, and I think I know it, but I don't want to say it and be wrong. But I want you to know that when you came in, and you were smiling, and we got our picture. That was the best part of my day. And that includes Mississippi State winning a football game. It's like there's so much that we get so caught up in the minutiae of life. But when you have somebody that finds some value in what you do, you know, and finds a little bit of happiness in what we do, it's very special. And so her dad said, hey, tell him what the phrase that pays is. And she knew the phrase. She was a little bit shy, but she did ultimately say it. But I wanted you to know that you made my day. You absolutely made my day. And I hope when you hear this that I'm making your day as well. And I'm very glad that you listened to the Boneyard, and I'm glad that you came by to say hello with you and your dad. Real quick, too, before we get into the next segment, too, let me just kind of keep you guys updated. For those of you that are looking, that would like to come by, check some things out. You know how it goes, right? We do have some more book signings coming up. And again, Wednesday, so we're going to record Wednesday's show Tuesday night. So it'll be up for your listening pleasure on Wednesday morning. I'm going to be in Meridian at the Bulldog Shop from 11 to 1 in Meridian. 11 to 1 in Meridian. Don't say we haven't told you. Thursday, I'm going to be at Mistletoe Marketplace with the College Corner group there in Jackson. Those of you that know Mistletoe, do you know exactly what we're talking about. So I will be there Thursday with the dude. I think they won't have all the books, but they'll have the dude and probably Dogpile. So we'll get that taken care of for you. Now, Sunday, I got to hustle back from Knoxville Saturday night in the wee hours of Sunday morning, and I will be at the author event downtown. I'm there every Sunday after home games during football season just to kind of hang with all of you. But also, there's going to be, I think, 10 authors that day. So it's the Christmas open house at Bookmart and Cafe downtown this Sunday from 11 to 3. I'll be there. I may need a cup of coffee, but I'll be there. The next week on Friday, we'll be adding some dates. Friday, November 15th, I'll be at Maroon & Company 2 to 5. Saturday, game day, that's Missouri game day, I'll be at Barnes & Noble on campus. The time has not been set yet. And for those of you in central Mississippi that are wondering, I'll be at Lemuria December 7th and 17th. We don't have time set up yet, but we will. So that's kind of where we stand with all of that. So we wrapped up baseball yesterday for the fall with a split against Arkansas State. And immediately we had some people like, oh, I can't believe this. We win the first game 18-1. We lose the second 4-1. We played mostly second teamers in the second game because those guys are fighting for jobs, right? And it's one thing to constantly see, you know, the inner squad. But, you know, you got to put them out there, you know, and you got to let them play. You know, and so I feel pretty confident in the first team. I mean, obviously, we went up there and just absolutely destroyed Arkansas State. And Charlie Foster got the start in game one. I have talked about him on the show several times. I had a chance to meet his mom at Campus Bookmart on Saturday. And a lot of baseball parents were in town. It was supposed to be the World Series, kind of wrapping it up. Ends up being Arkansas State. But, guys, Charlie Foster is going to be elite. Provided he stays healthy and continues to work hard, he is going to be an elite pitcher. And we talk all – well, we didn't do enough in the portal. And then I ask you, you know, I had a discussion on the message board the other day. I'm not trying to shame the guy. I'm not. But a guy kind of said, hey, do you think we had a better portal showing than Tennessee? Well, yes. Yes, there were they 96 in the country. I mean, like, we want to use the rankings and say, hey, we didn't do enough. And then we say, well, we didn't do enough as Tennessee. Guys, Tennessee signed three guys in the portal. But we didn't do as good as Florida, and Florida finishes out of the top 50. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like if we want to beat Mississippi State up with these statistics and with these rankings, and again, nothing against the guys at Analytics 64. We're subscribers, okay, because we want to kind of know what's going on, right? But the reality of it is these rankings are in their infancy. I mean, 247 Sports and Rivals and people like that, we're still kind of tinkering with portal rankings for football. You know, how much weight should they get? You know, of course, you put a big number on there, it's going to draw a lot of clicks, right? But how much should a portal count in a team's team rankings? That is something that is still being tweaked by people that have done this for decades. And then when you begin to think now with the baseball portal thing, there was a need, there was a black hole, a bit of a vacuum. These guys stepped up and said, hey, let's give it a shot. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They're doing the best they can. But to think those rankings right now are accurate, it's just not fair, right? It's not fair to them. And they're doing the best they can. I'm not being critical of those guys. And I appreciate them. I truly do. But, you know, there have been some guys on there that, you know, have high rankings The projections from MLB scouts don't match those rankings. Their production as college players don't match those rankings. And so there are things they're having to tweak and learn too. And not to mention, you got to think how many hundreds of players are going into portal And you can't watch everybody, right? I mean, how many times do we see it? You know, people get a default ranking or something, and then later they get adjusted. And so I just say that because I like our portal class. Now, I don't think they're all going to start come game one. Now, of course, we come back around the third week in December. We have like 3 weeks before the season starts. So we'll be back on the field like that last week of January. We'll take Christmas break. Now, they'll still work. You know, they're still going to do some things. But as far as like actual scrimmages and stuff, we'll be back last week of January, the first 2 weeks of February, and then next thing you know, we're playing Valentine's Day weekend. It'll be here before you know it. You say, Steve, I mean, you know, we just got done with fall ball. You're already talking about this. Well, we're not going to talk about baseball a lot until we get back into it. But since we just wrapped it up, it's worth discussing. So I don't think there's any question that Cup is going to be your starting shortstop. I don't think there's any question. Barring something absolutely just totally unforeseen in the preseason, I think Dylan Cup is your day one shortstop. He was the leading or second leading hitter in the fall, despite the fact that he wasn't running things out. And as Lamona said last night, he got until December 1st to be completely cleared, you know, to kind of go full out. But the way the bat tool has come along is impressive. And you saw it last year, right before he got hurt, he was just starting to kind of figure it out. You know, that was the big knock on him is like, yeah, he is a day one defender in MLB draft, but the hit tool's got to improve. Well, it was just starting to come together when he got hurt, and so he's kind of picked up where he's left off. So I have no doubt in my mind that he is going to be your day one shortstop. Ace Reese, great offensive player. You've heard us talk about him a lot. I think he's your day one third baseman. Got to get better defensively. I mean, this is a guy that played some outfield last year, too, and you may have to move some people around. But, you know, think about how good Logan Kohler was defensively for us last year. He was elite. Now, the offensive numbers weren't where we wanted them to be or we expected them to be. But defensively, last year when a ball was hit to the left side between Mershon and Kohler, you never expected there to be an issue, and rarely was there ever one, you know, compared to what it was the year before. You know, we had, you know, Slade Offord and Lane Forsythe over there, and Lane just got the yips. You know, that's kind of the anomaly. More years than not, Mississippi State has been elite defensively. Not good, not great, elite defensively. Second base, this is going to be interesting here, man. You know, Ethan Pulliam hadn't been out there a lot, but he's been out there some. But I think there's a situation right now where there's a lot of competition at second. Gatlin Sanders, a guy that was a JUCO transfer, he has been one of the most consistent hitters the last month. Sawyer Reeves has played shortstop for the most part while Cup has been out, along with Lucas Buckner. And I think there's probably a good chance you see Sawyer Reeves in the mix at second. And then you start thinking about that aspect of it. Sawyer Reeves, a great locker room guy, good hitter. Great. We have middle infield. We talk about being solid in the middle infield. Guys, we took the field last year with 2.5 middle infielders. Because Imani Larry eventually became your DH, and he just couldn't throw the baseball, you know. And then Ethan Pulliam kind of emerges late, you know, and did some really good things for us. But when you begin to think about what we have now, the options that we have now in the middle infield are incredible. And we talk about losing Dave Mershon, and that's going to be the spark plug piece is what I think we miss. We're not going to miss anything defensively. Dave Mershon was an elite defender. Dylan Cup is an elite defender with even better range. And so first base, Hunter Hines will be there. Reed Stallman, of course, will play some there as well. But, you know, Hunter Hines is the guy. And you begin to work out the left field piece. You know, is that Bryce Chance? You know, I guess we'll see. You know, could be. Michael O'Brien has competed some with Bryce in center field. I think Mikey probably is the better defender. The concern with him was the bat piece, right? And then he goes out and has a really good summer. Well, that's carried over to the fall. Now, can it carry over to the season? You know, that's the big thing now. Right field's going to be no one Stevens except when he pitches. You know, there's some things you got to figure out here. But, you know, getting Ross Heifel back is huge. I don't think people recognize, you know, what we missed without Ross Heifel last year. I think Ross Heifel is a day one draft, or day two draft pick, and he could play his way into day one. I think he's that good. He's also athletic enough. He can play, run around the outfield and play left or center if he had to. Joe Powell's a guy, going to be out a little bit, but he'll be back full speed for the season. He's been out the last couple of weeks, but you know, he's a good number two. But I just don't think he's as good as Ross. And he's certainly not the athlete and the base runner. I'm not ragging on Joe. I'm just kind of praising Ross here. You know, Ross was catcher one in the fall last year until towards the end he got a little bit banged up, you know. And so, you know, again, you start working through this and you see what Jackson Owen has done offensively and you need three catchers. And then you start thinking, okay, well, what does this mean for Steven Spoletta? Is he your fourth catcher? Is he willing to stay for that? You know, is he going to say, hey, I'll just go to JUCO and reboot the career? I don't know. I'm just speculating here. I don't have an answer for you. But, yeah, I think I feel good about where we are offensively. And, again, you look up at 18 runs the first game and one the second, people are like, yeah, but, Steve, I mean, it's so inconsistent. It's a different team on the field in game two. Different team on the field. It was. You know, Garrick Fry was with the second group. Nate Chester was with the second group. Lucas Buckner, freshman, was your shortstop. You know, Reed Stallman was your first baseman. You know, Landis Davila, a freshman, is going to be really good for us, was your right fielder. Yeah, I mean, so I say that just because of the fact that a lot of people just look at the box scores and don't understand. You know, game number one is like if we were going to play LSU tomorrow, that's who would start. That's who would start, the group that was number one. And then the guys that are in that second group are fighting for a job. And so it's important to understand, and the best way to evaluate those guys is put them on the field and let them play, and certainly let them play somebody else in a real game and kind of see how they respond. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question. If you're bringing a large group to town, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is for you. Whether it be a family weekend, a work colleagues weekend, a college roommates weekend, a baby shower weekend, a bachelor party weekend. We don't want you getting too rowdy, guys, but it's a great place to have a big place all to yourself. He's got the one neighbor out there, so we need you to be respectful of that. But 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, full-service kitchen, so you can run to the grocery store, stock the fridge, and cook all weekend. You can just kind of vegetate if you want to. You can just kind of have a staycation here, you know, in your favorite city, Starkville. Yeah. The wet bar is available to you. You also have that great big back porch area, the fire pit area, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Nothing could be more convenient than that. But you're tucked away well off Highway 182, so you don't hear all that highway noise, you know, that kind of stuff. You can just relax. And we're going to be there, I guess, in about 6 weeks or so, 7 weeks or so. Me and the family, and I can't wait. I've had some friends of mine stay there, but I'm going to stay there, and I can't wait to come back and tell you about our time because we're so excited to have everybody under one roof just for a couple nights. Just everybody get back to town, and let's all chill and just have a good time together. And I'm going to unplug, man. I am. I'm going to get away from the phone, you know, and just enjoy my family because I'm the kind of person, man, I'm constantly on the go. Constantly on the go. I went and floated today. I feel better today than I have in weeks. I hadn't floated in about 3 weeks, but floated today and I feel great. You can go float too, 662-268-7601. But I'm telling you, Stark Vegas Clubhouse cannot get here soon enough. I'm so excited. I'm more excited about that than I am Christmas because I'm going to be with all my children. And you need to take the lead in your family or your friend group and kind of be the leader of that and say, hey, we don't get together enough. Let's get together. And so I'm going to go ahead and reserve this, and everybody can kind of pitch in, and we'll have a great time together. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, your Facebook page is going to auto-populate. You can go back and look at all the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you. In addition to that, there's going to be some booking options that pop up, Airbnb, VRBO. But if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you 10%. That's promo code BSR10. BSR10, you get 10% off your stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, just moments ago, Mississippi State wrapped up a season opening win over West Georgia, 95-60. It got a little bit dicey there in the first half. And then next thing you know, Mississippi State has kind of flipped the switch and got going. Very, very impressive win. And again, listen, I get it. You know, in the first game, you're going to have some things that kind of don't go your way. But that's part of basketball. but nearly a century tonight. But the first basket of the year comes off a Kanye Clary steal, and he lays it up to Keyshawn Murphy for the heave. That's your first Bulldog basket. If you had Keyshawn Murphy on a breakaway dunk on your Bulldog basketball bingo card, you have won. But, it was kind of nip and tuck, as it always is early on. And the next thing you know, State takes it out. You know, it's like you look up and say, this game is close, man. I wish we had a little room to breathe. And it's 14-4. You know, Josh Hubbard, again, off a turnover. You know, that's the Jans experience, right? We're going to play hard defense. We're going to throw defense and offense. And the next thing you know, it's like, hey, it's 22-7. State is just rolling here. Claude O'Harris wearing number zero. Rams home a three to make it a 15-point game right above the 12-minute mark. And you think, man, we're just going to coast and coast and coast and things are going to be great. Well, next thing you know, West Georgia makes a bit of a run because State just for a stretch there just couldn't find it. Just couldn't find it. And it was up and down the order. I mean, up and down the lineup. It wasn't something as simple as, you know, hey, we just kept feeding a guy that just didn't have it tonight. I think we missed five or six straight shots. And all of a sudden you look up under 6 minutes with 5:41 to go in the half. State is only up five. Things got a little tense. You know, we made some subs here, changing things up. And then State takes it right back out. And it's eight. And then they hit a couple of baskets. And you look at, 3 minutes to go, Colton Griffin off a turnover in the post. It rams home a three, and State is only up three. And Twitter was absolutely losing their minds. And again, you're not going to tell a lot about this team in game one against West Georgia. I mean, you're not. And at this point, nobody should have been sweating this thing out. In the final 2 minutes, State exerts their dominance and takes it right back out to 11. So it is 40-29 on a three-point basket by Claude O'Harris just before the halftime buzzer to give State an 11-point lead. And really from there, State never looked back. And nor should they, right? Again, there are going to be times when, you know, everybody's going to get hot a little bit. And then, you know, State's going to have to respond. And then, you know, right 5 minutes into the second half, State's up 20, 53-33. And from there, they just kind of nursed that lead along. You know, it just never felt like that, that State was in any jeopardy. And you look up under 10 minutes there and State's up 28 after Riley Kugel connects on a free throw. The game was over. It was just a matter of what the final score was going to be. State takes it out to as many as 34. Sean Jones Jr. With, again, a fast break basket off a turnover. You know, it's just, you know, that's going to be the Mississippi State game plan. At the four-minute mark, State is up 38. With 3:21, it goes to 40. Martavius Russell with a three-point basket. You know, as some of the kind of reserves get in there and get some playing time. But, that would prove to be State's biggest lead, and State ultimately wins the game 95-60. So, again, you win the ball game and perhaps you learn a lesson or two, but these guys have got used to playing with each other. Look at our numbers here. Kanye Clary, we talked about this. We needed a complimentary score for Josh Hubbard. We needed somebody out there to do some things that made a difference. And Kanye Clary didn't fill up the box score tonight, played 18 minutes, dished out a couple of assists, played good defense, had three steals, pulled down a couple of boards. And again, a lot of people were kind of hyping him up as going to be a dude. Guys, there are going to be nights when Kanye Clary is going to be your leading or second leading scorer. Keyshawn Murphy, 6 points tonight. He had the first basket we talked about. Cam Matthews, just five. But, Cam doing all the good stuff, right? Knocks down a couple of baskets in the paint there. Didn't attempt a three-point basket. Pulled down four rebounds. Keyshawn Murphy led State with seven, by the way, in rebounds. Also dished out four assists. Man, you love to hear about that, right? A couple blocks. Cam Matthews, you know what you're going to get from Cam. But Josh Hubbard with 26 points to lead the Bulldogs, 10 of 13 from the floor and 6 of a sizzling 7 from beyond the arc in 26 minutes of action, a point per minute. We talked about Clodagh Harris Jr., 20 points for him. We said going into the season that we felt like we could shoot it. Didn't know how we'd be in the post, but we knew we could shoot it. We proved that tonight. Harris, 6 of 10 from beyond the arc, 7-11 from the floor. Attempts one free throw and misses it. Hands out 3 assists, too. Pretty unselfish basketball for State, too. I mean, you get a lot of people out there involved in baskets there. It's true. I mean, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 players involved in 19 assists. Man, you got to love that. Riley Kugel got into some foul trouble. 4 for him. Only played 15 minutes in the game. Knocked down a couple free throws, 0 for 4 from the floor. And he's going to be a dude, too. We know this, right? There's no reason to have any concern about that. We talk about, play in the post. Gashol with 8, 4 of 5 from the floor. Just pulled down 1 rebound. And again, that's going to be, when you don't miss a whole lot, there's not going to be a lot of offensive rebounds. But there are going to be times in SEC play we're going to miss. We're going to need better on the glass. And that's really, the question kind of coming in, is how will State be in the post? We feel like we're going to be a guard-oriented team that we had to be able to shoot from the perimeter, which has been a real challenge for us at times. And, of course, Josh Hubbard shows up, and then we're able to go recruit in the portal and say, hey, We got a primary. We need a secondary score. And so here we are. And again, it's one game in. You can't read too much into it, good or bad. State took care of business. 46 points off the bench, 44 points in the paint. That's always good to see. 31 points off turnover. That may be the highlight right there. 26 fast break points. And, it's so crazy. You look at this stuff here. Scoring percentage, 58.6%. So we're scoring nearly 60% of the time that we have the basketball. The game was tied for just 1 minute and 15 seconds. State led basically throughout, 38-45. And so, again, great start. Couple of things there in the first half. And, there's going to be some up and down, with a new lineup, but my feelings about this team absolutely haven't changed. Like the team, excited about the team, excited about what's next for this team. And we'll be back in action Friday against Georgia State. Dave Murray will have the coverage for us as Jacob and I will be on the way to Knoxville. But Dave Murray will have you covered, with your live thread and, with your your backup stuff, and we'll have some recaps and that kind of stuff, recaps and takeaways and things like that. But again, I'm excited about the team. We're not going to play anybody these first few ball games that we're expecting a real tussle with. We get Utah out there in South Haven. That's going to be the ESPN2 game. That's going to be our first real test, and then we got to go to SMU. And so for you Bulldogs that are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, November 22nd, we're going to be playing at SMU. We need you to be there for that one. And then you look at this Arizona tip-off, UNLV and either Butler or Northwestern. And then we get Pitt in the ACC Challenge. So, again, it may be a couple of weeks before we kind of get a test of any sorts. But I think this team is capable of passing those things. And again, you got some non-conference games you look at and say, it's not going to be much of a challenge there, but you've got to find some rhythm. And of course, that game at Memphis, December 21st, that Saturday, let's just kind of say it for what it is, man. It's bigger than any bowl game that could be played that day. At Memphis, last time I looked, Memphis was getting beat tonight, but at Memphis, mark your calendars. December 21st, we take on the Fighting Penny Hardaways. That's the next-to-last non-conference game before we get into SEC play. So Bulldogs now 1-0. Congratulations to Coach Chris Jans and everybody involved in Mississippi State men's basketball. Very, very excited that the basketball season is here. And the main reason that I'm excited is not just because basketball season is here. It's because I expect Mississippi State to be very good on the men's basketball side this year. It has been a long time since we have won an NCAA tournament game. You wouldn't know that sometimes. You know, sometimes people have kind of forgotten the, you know, the Rick Ray years. Great guy, just didn't win enough, right? But we have, you know, it took a long time for us to kind of get back into the tournament discussion. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, barring a major injury, that every year Chris Jantz is going to have us in contention to be in the NCAA tournament. I think that's the case. I think, number one, not a lot of people play a great brand of defense. And he does. And he coaches that. He recruits that. But we have not won an NCAA tournament game since 2008. We won the 8-9 game against Oregon. And we have not won a game since then. Of course, we lose to number one seed Memphis, and I still think we got cheated in that game. But, you know, the one that sticks out to me, that was a 2009, you know, loss, you know, to Washington. That was a game, too, that it wasn't a great matchup for us. But we didn't make a tournament game again for 10 years, and then we blew it against Liberty. Absolutely blew it. We were watching that game at Duty Noble, and we absolutely blew the game. Brutal. But Jantz loses by one in the first four game in 23. And then last year, of course, you saw what Michigan State did to us. They got hot at the right time, and we didn't. And you know, that's just kind of the reality of life. But it's a new season, and I am very confident that we're going to get to the tournament and advance in the tournament. And I think this team, if we can get some quality post play, has a chance to get out of the first weekend. That's my take today. Might feel differently as we get there. We look at the totality of the season. But for tonight, we're going to celebrate, and we look forward to being back with you guys again. We'll record tomorrow night for Wednesday morning because I've got a busy week, as you guys said, and as you guys know. And for those of you in Meridian, we'll see you at the Bulldog Shop from 11 to 1. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.